It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Ross Tucker. It's quarter number three. That means it's time for Ask Ross. And we are going to be sending out a KSN polo shirt for the best question. Ross, are you ready?
I am.
All right. Let's get started then. And we're going to start with Manny from Vienna, Virginia. Says, Ross, last year you questioned Penn State why Penn State would offer a tight end scholarship to Tyler Warren rather than in-state legacy recruit Hayden Rucci, who was a four-star previously. Do you now agree with the staff's evaluation of Tyler Warren over Hayden Rucci?
Well, so you're not comparing apples to apples there because Rucci's already a freshman at Wisconsin. So he is a year ahead of him. So they're not in the same class, right? So really, Penn State offered a scholarship to Brenton Strange and not Hayden Rucci because Brenton Strange is the same class. But also, you know, part of it, I think, Jim, is, you know, Hayden Rucci committed to Wisconsin in February of his junior year of high school. You know, so I don't know. I mean, maybe Penn State would have eventually offered him a scholarship. You know, maybe they didn't know or think he was going to commit that. I mean, back then, that was committing a full year before signing day. You know, his brother, who's, you know, the number one player in the state, it's now late April. And his brother just released his top nine. So, you know, they're on very different timelines in a very different situation, obviously. So we don't know that Penn State wouldn't have eventually offered him one. We just know they didn't at that point. And watching Tyler Warren's video, I think he's a total stud. I don't think the comparison to Rucci is really relevant since they're not the same class. And if you look at Rucci versus Strange, they're just totally different players. I mean, the reality is Penn State really doesn't recruit tight ends that play tight end. I mean, Brenton Strange was a wide receiver. Zach Kuntz was a wide receiver. Nick Bowers in high school was a wide receiver. Theo Johnson plays wide receiver in Canada. Tyler Warren plays quarterback and then wide receiver. I mean, none of these guys actually played tight end in high school. You know, so I wonder if that was part of the issue too. Now, Freiermuth played more of a traditional tight end. He's also a very, very talented kid. But Freiermuth played more of a traditional tight end. But Penn State typically recruits more the guys that are 210, 215, maybe 220, playing wide receiver instead of the kids like Rucci that were 240 playing traditional tight end. He's probably better off at a place like Wisconsin where they use two and three tight ends often and they block a lot because that was definitely a big strength of his.
You know, and two quick points on that. The other issue is he's a Pennsylvania kid, and do you want to keep people at home, especially when he's got a five-star brother? And the other part of this is we don't know. Maybe the kid didn't have an interest in going to Penn State. We don't know that. So,
one point I would make too, Jim, which I think is a good one there, is I think my point at the time was it's just interesting that they would take a chance on a converted tight end, I mean, converted quarterback to tight end like Warren from out of state, as opposed to a guy in state that has scholarships to Wisconsin and Michigan State and all these schools. You know, but I think that they really put a premium on athleticism at that position, as opposed to the physicality that you know, Rucci brought to the table.
Gotcha. All right, let's get to our next question, and it's from Ben in Tarpon Springs, Florida. He says, by way of Jersey Shore, PA, Ross, hearing your dulcet voice discussing Penn State football is truly appreciated during these unique times. First of all, do you know what a dulcet voice is, Ross?
Yeah, it's like smooth, right? Like it's, I think it's something like that, right? Smooth.
You're exactly right. There's that Princeton education. I had to look it up. But the definition is sweet and melodious. So how?
Yeah,
that?
I'll take it.
All right.
This is the business I've chosen. I'll take sweet and melodious.
Well, here's the downside. It also says it's often used sarcastically or ironically. So we don't know which way Ben means it, but
no, he meant it. He meant it in a nice way.
All right. Here's his question. For perspective on your recruit grading scale, how would you have graded the following players based on your recollection of their high school tapes? Gross Matos, Micah Parsons, Devin Ford, and LeVar Arrington. Now, you don't have to go through all of them, but if any of those interest you, how would you compare like Matos or Micah Parsons, Devin Ford? Pick any of those that you want.
Well, I did do Micah Parsons. I did do Etor Gross Matos.
Let's do this. Micah Parsons, Devin Ford, who were the last couple years, what point rating would you have given them? An 8.1?
Oh, okay. I see what he means. Well, if you remember, I had Etor as number one in that class.
Yep, so that would have been high.
I would have thought he was like an 8.7. I think Devin Ford would have been more like an 8.2. And I think Micah Parsons would have been like a 9.
Yeah, his high school tape, it was pretty obvious what you were getting there. So anyway, let's kind of keep with the theme of these rankings of the recruits. And this is Jake from Pittsburgh. Jake says, you're higher on quarterback Micah Bowens than most of the recruiting services. Which recent college football quarterback do you think is his ceiling, and how does he stack up to Penn State's recent starting quarterbacks?
Again, I can't emphasize enough how hard it is to evaluate that position just off of video. I think a lot of these guys that Penn State have been bringing in the last couple of years are pretty similar. Most of them, you know, don't have great size, but they've got live arms and they're really mobile, some more than others. You know, that it seems like Penn State almost has a type now, Jim, where it's like 6 foot, 6'1", maybe 5'11", maybe 6'2". But can really scoot, can really run, but has a nice arm. It's amazing how much it's changed. You know, people used to, you know, back in the day, Jim, they wouldn't take you if you were 6 foot a quarterback, no matter how good you were. They just didn't care. They just weren't going to do it. It's really remarkable how much it's changed. And I think Micah's right there with these other guys. I mean, I think he compares favorably based on what I've seen. I told you I really like him. I mean, he's really athletic. He's got a big arm. Now, I wonder sometimes watching him if he's got a little bit of a longer release than you would like. And I've never seen him throw in person. And my guess is a lot of these people that have him ranked lower have. So in that example, at least, they certainly have access to more information than I do.
Well, wouldn't that be the kind of thing that can be coached out of if they have a long motion? Isn't that something, and especially he's not going to play his first year, isn't that something that could be coached out of him in a year or two?
I mean, I think they can try. I don't know that it can, though, Jim. I really don't. I don't know that it can. I mean, he's been throwing that way his whole life. I mean, he's going to try, I'm sure. And they're going to work on it, but I don't know if he's going to be able to do it.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. All right. Next up is Ryan from Ramstein Air Base in Germany. So that's pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm guessing we don't want him to be the winner.
Sending the
KSN Polo to Germany probably wouldn't be too cheap for you there, Jim. I'm teasing, of course.
Well, Ryan, if you win, just give us a stateside address to send it here, and it'll be waiting for you when you get back. All right. Ryan asks, "Hey, Ross, I'm a longtime listener. Your in-depth analysis during podcasts have helped me stay awake on long drives, making doing dishes easier, and now they help me from slipping into insanity during physical distancing." All right, Ryan. Ryan asked, "Do you think Penn State would pursue JT Daniels, who may transfer from USC, and how might that be able to impact the program?" I don't see them doing that, but how disruptive would a transfer quarterback be, Ross?
Well, I don't think he would go to Penn State because Sean Clifford has two more years, and Sean Clifford's an incumbent starting quarterback, so I have no idea why JT Daniels would go to Penn State. I mean, if he's going to compete with somebody else, he might as well just stay at USC. I think he wants to go to where he perceives to be a better situation. So I think it's highly unlikely. If the question is more gauged towards what would it be like if he came in, it would probably be tense. There'd be a lot of people questioning why are you bringing him in? It would be very competitive in that quarterback room. It would be really, truly unique. I mean, it'd be a unique situation. It's not going to happen. I'd be shocked if it did. Usually if you're going to bring a quarterback in, they're going to be your guy. Not always, but for a lot of these schools, if you're going to say, okay, we're bringing them in, you're doing that for a reason.
Yeah. And also, Ross, exactly. It's if you have a void at the position is, I think, when you make a move like that. You know, if something happened, if Sean Clifford were injured or something happened or he transferred, all of a sudden you felt there was a void at the position, that's what would make you bring in a transfer and all the baggage that comes with it. All right, that's going to have to be our last question because we're butting up with the end of the segment, Ross. That was a great segment. I really enjoyed the rankings that we did in Tucker's Tape. Great questions. As soon as we're done here, you and I are going to find out our winner, and I promise I will announce the winner in quarter number 4. So
don't forget, Jim. Don't forget.
I promise I won't. Stick with us for quarter number 4.
So what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma. Or the crisp, clean finish. That all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Everyone knows AAA gives you peace of mind when you're out on the road. But did you know you get other perks as well? Besides providing reliable roadside service for over 100 years, AAA also provides great discounts on entertainment, prescriptions, rental cars, hotels, insurance, and so much more. Take advantage of everything AAA has to offer. Purchase, renew, or upgrade your membership today at AAA.com.
This is Jim Galante with the Keystone Sports Network. We know there are a lot more important things going on than whether there are any sports. But we'd like to give you a little break from everything else happening in our world with some Penn State football talk. College football will come back. In the meantime, we hope you enjoy the Keystone Kickoff Show. Find all our shows at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the app Keystone Sports. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.